The note from Sister Alice Hartman says, thanks for all the cards and flowers for my 88th birthday. How wonderful it is that God has blessed her with 88 years upon this earth. We thank God for her and for all of you. It's been a while since I was up here to look out over the audience. Ever wonder if your prayers get answered? I'm evidence that they are. I had two heart attacks since May. One was on May the 7th. The second one was August the 22nd. And I don't want to go any details too much. But there was one point that I didn't think I would be with you anymore. But the prayers went across up to God's heaven. And God decided to spare me. I don't know how long. There'll be another day coming. I'm sure that God would say, Steve, it's enough. But so far, he hasn't done that. And I thank him for it. And it's so good to look out over the audience and see all of your faces again. Brother Dwayne has asked that we would read from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. Romans chapter 6, 1 to 14. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that as many as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, by the glory of the Father, even so also should we walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin hence once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and our members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. And praise God that we are. Let's kneel for prayer.
Thank you, brother. Sharing your heart for praying, your prayer. We praise the Lord that he has given you more time with us. It's good to have you back up here. You could have kept going, you know, and we'd have been fine this morning. Thank you for praying for me on my behalf this morning here. At a large business, employees needed to sign in when they were late for work and give a reason for being tardy. Frequently, one person would write his name and then his reason. Following that, other employees that came in late would simply sign their names and jot ditto marks under the first person's reason. A common reason for lateness, for example, was fog. But one morning, however, the first person on the column wrote for his excuse the words, "Wife had twins." Below that explanation were 20 sets of ditto marks, indicating that another 20 employees had the same exciting experience. It is quite an exciting experience, I can tell you that. I think someone just recently had that experience. But one needs to be careful what you ditto. By following the crowd, one is saying that he or she belongs to that crowd. It also means that the crowd controls the person. It is true that what we do and what we say and how we think and how we respond and react to people, to circumstances, and what kind of perspective we have, all this says something about who is controlling us and who we belong to. You don't have to turn with me, but I'm going to turn back to Mark chapter 9. And read a few verses. Jesus is talking to the disciples. They were concerned there about those who didn't follow with them. But yet they were doing works that were good, but they were concerned, why weren't they following with us? And Jesus said, "Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me, for he that is not against us is on our part." In verse 41, "For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward." The phrase, "because you belong to Christ." I want us to think about that this morning. The title of the message is, "I Belong to Jesus." I'd like to consider that thought. And that thought has been speaking to me recently, and I'm hoping that the Lord takes it this morning and applies it. Somehow you can grasp what I'm trying to bring out this morning. The thought of belonging to Jesus. For all born-again believers, what does it mean to belong to Jesus? How should it affect us? And is it evident in our lives? Well, first, we'll consider what it means to belong to Jesus. The word "belong," according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, means to be the property of a person or thing. When something belongs to us, it means that it was either given to us or we purchased it. We have ownership of it. It's ours. As believers, we belong to Jesus. Now, there's a key thought here this morning that this only applies to believers. That's the emphasis this morning. As believers, we belong to Jesus because he has done something for us. He has purchased us. He has bought us, and he becomes our owner. Acts 20:28 says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God." Here's the phrase I want, "which he hath purchased with his blood," his own blood.
1 Peter 1:18 and 19 talks about that we're not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. In other words, we're bought, purchased with his blood. Think of this personally, and I want you to think of this personally this morning, that you as a believer are his. I am Christ. He has ownership. Ownership of you, ownership of me. That means that Satan no longer has a right to have any authority over us. Satan no longer has any right to have authority over us. Christ has redeemed us. He's purchased us from the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13. Sin's penalty no longer has a hold on us. We are no longer slaves to sin. You find that in what was read this morning in Romans 6, in verses 6 and 7 in particular. We have freedom. You're free and I'm free because we belong to Jesus. Sin no longer is our master. Death and the grave have lost their victory over us because death no longer has dominion over Christ. Romans 6, 8, and 9, the two verses again that were read this morning, where it talks about that Christ has victory over death, and because we belonged in him and we belong to him, we too have victory over death. This morning I'm going to use the first person a lot and say I. Me. But I want you to use it for yourself. Sometimes I'll say we, but please look at this for yourself. This is one, I want you to try to grasp that. I want to try to grasp it. Something else that his ownership of me means is that he gives special care. Special care to me. He gives special care to you. I am of special interest to Jesus because I belong to him. We are under this wonderful canopy of God's love and mercy and goodness, a special place where there's special provision for those who belong to him. It's like no other place. To belong to Jesus is such a comforting thought. It's mind-boggling. The church at Corinth was experiencing contentions amongst the brethren. Paul wrote to them in the first chapter in verse 11. He says, "For hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ." The problem there at Corinth, or at least one of the problems, was that they were trying to belong to someone else instead of belonging to Jesus. And there was contentions because one person was with this person, one was with this, instead of all being with Christ. Jesus has the authority to claim us as his own, taking us in so that we belong to him, and making each of us, each one of us, who belong to him, a special, special part of his body. Not one is ignored. Not one is seen as more important. Not one is forgotten. Jesus doesn't form cliques and let some people out, or one person sit somewhere along the side while others are enjoying themselves. Rather, when a person belongs to Jesus, he or she has that special place in the heart of Jesus, the same place where every other believer is. It's a special place. Part of his belongings. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior and Lord, the truth this morning is this, that you don't belong to him. He still loves you. He cares for you in that he wants you to come to repentance and accept him as your Savior and Lord. He wants to be able to pour out more blessings to you. But the truth is, as an unbeliever, you don't belong to him. But for all of us who are believers, let this thought permeate our heart and our mind. I belong to Jesus. Can we get a better grasp of this truth? Well, how should belonging to Jesus affect us? There are different aspects of this, or to this thought of personally belonging to Him. One is what we just talked about, the blessed position that it puts us in. But a second aspect of this thought and truth, that I belong to Jesus, that you belong to Jesus, is that it places a responsibility upon you, a responsibility upon me. We could say, as the hymn writer has written, that we've been given a charge, a responsibility, a charge to keep. There's a charge upon our lives. And that charge involves at least three things, and there may be more. I just have three that I want to share. Three things. First, because I belong to Jesus, I have a responsibility to stand for Christ. This means that I present Him by the message of my life and my words. It means that others will know that I'm on Christ's side by my actions and my words and my life. It means that I stand for what He stands for. It means that I live out the message of Jesus unashamed before others, no matter what. I've failed too many times at that. But this is what it means to belong to Jesus, that I need to stand for Him. You know, it's interesting that Daniel and his three Hebrew friends survived in a heathen society in Babylon, not by running from it, not by fighting against it, but they simply did what they knew was right, not compromising their faith. In other words, they simply stood up. They stood up for Christ, for their God. Ephesians 6, verse 10. And this section is talking about putting on the armor. I want you to notice some words. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. He says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to what? Stand. So that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. And then he talks about what we wrestle against in verse 13 and then verse 12. But verse 13, he says, wherefore take on to you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all, to what? Stand. Stand up. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. My responsibility of belonging to Jesus and yours is that we need to stand up for Christ. And if you don't think you've had opportunity to do so, well, then we're missing the opportunities. And you know what? There's a whole lot more coming. We need to stand up for Christ. Dudley Ting, not sure if I'm pronouncing his last name correct, it's T-Y-N-G. He was a preacher in Philadelphia. He held Bible studies at the YMCA and had a burden for leading men to Christ. In March of 1858, it's a pretty long time ago, but he helped organize a rally of 5,000 men. And when he spoke to them, he said, I would rather this arm be amputated at the trunk than that I should come short of my duty to you in delivering God's message. He challenged the audience. Ye that are men, go and serve the Lord, he said. And it was reported that over 1,000 men were converted that day. Listen what happened. 2 weeks later, Dudley's sleeve got caught in a corn thresher, and his arm was torn from its socket. Surgery completed the amputation after infection had set in. But within 2 weeks, now remember, this is back before things were like they are now, obviously. But within 2 weeks, it was clear that this 29-year-old man, it was clear to him that he was going to die. He gave these final words to his father. Stand up for Jesus, Father, and tell my brother and of the ministry to stand up for Jesus. And George Duffield, who was a fellow minister, took those words. And what do you think he wrote? Stand up for Jesus. He wrote the hymn that we sing, you soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. He included a phrase that ye that are men now serve him, but it includes more than men. But he took it because of Dudley's words. He said, stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. Just as it did for Dudley. You dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor and watching on the prayer where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus. Someone has said, and I like this thought, I would rather stand with God and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by God. Think of that. Because we belong to Jesus, we need to stand up for him. Secondly, because we belong to Jesus, we need to say no to sin. No matter what the sin is, I can't excuse it. I can't think it's okay. I can't think, well, it's just one of the weaknesses I have, so I guess it's all right. I can't excuse it. I can't ignore the sin, allowing it to be ongoing in my life without dealing with it, because I belong to Jesus, and he's the one who died for all my sin. Not that I would keep living in it, but that I get rid of it. And if he hated it that much, and it was that terrible of a thing that it took the precious Son of God to die on a cross to deal with my sin, how can I think that I can ignore it and just go on living in it? When I belong to him, in belonging to him, we are set apart to live to a different and a higher standard than the world. A different and a higher standard. But you know what? Not only do we need to say no to sin, but because we belong to him, we can say no to sin. And that's a great thing. Because it's through his power. Through the fact that that sin penalty has been broken. The sin no longer has dominion over us and needs to have control of us. Jesus will help us. We belong to him. He broke sin's power. And with his help, we can actually live to that different and higher standard. You look at Romans 6 there, I want to reread some of the verses that Steve read. The first, starting in verse 11, it says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. What is the connecting thing with those verses? It's all something that I can do. It's all something that I should do. He says, likewise, reckon. That's an imperative command that I'm supposed to do that. He says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies that you should obey. Do something. It's on your account. You can do something with the help of the Lord. He says, neither yield ye your members. That's something that I can do. So not only do we need to say no to sin, but we are empowered because we belong to Jesus that we really can say no to sin. Day to day, through the day, when you're faced with a temptation, may that thought come into your mind, into my mind. Look, I belong to Jesus. I don't need to do this. I don't need to say this. I don't need to think this. I think it's empowering when we grasp and realize that we belong to Him, that He gives us the help to make the steps necessary and to choose not to sin. I'm not implying that we're never going to sin. That should be the goal. That should be our goal. We're not going to get there in this life. But that ought to be the goal each day. Thirdly, because we belong to Jesus. Not only do we need to stand up for Him, we need to say no to sin, but we need to say no to selfishness and sacrifice ourselves for others. You know, the sinking of the Titanic was a terrible tragedy. According to man's thinking, it couldn't sink. There was nothing that could take it down. There was false security, and to top it off, there was not nearly enough lifeboats. If something would happen to happen, there were those who gave of themselves as that ship was sinking. Annie Funk, who was a Mennonite missionary, gave up her seat in a lifeboat for a mother and her two children. John Harper, a minister, he shouted, "Let the women, children, and the unsaved get into the lifeboats." Later, he would drown. But then there were other ones who thought more of themselves. Colonel John Jack Astor was one of the richest men in the world, and he tried to get into a lifeboat with his wife, but he was stopped by the ship's officer. Another man, after being ordered out of a lifeboat so that ladies could be saved first, his name, Daniel Buckley, tried to hide in the bottom of a lifeboat with a woman, and a woman threw a shawl over him to disguise him as a woman. Bruce Ismay, the director of the White Star Line and the man responsible for putting an insufficient number of lifeboats on board, crawled into a lifeboat while hundreds of women stayed on the sinking ship. We need to realize that because I belong to Jesus, you belong to Jesus, life is not about me. It doesn't revolve around me and what I want. And that's how we all deal with that. If we're honest, we all deal with that, that today there's certain things I want and I think I need them because it's for me, right? Or am I an odd guy? I think we all deal with that. But because I belong to Jesus, I need to realize that life is not about me. When we have a better grasp that we belong to Jesus and see other believers as belonging to Him too, it's going to affect our selfishness and help avoid any contentions that could be amongst us. It will help us want to sacrifice for other believers because they belong to Christ just like us. If I grasp that thought that I belong to Jesus and over here are my other believers and they belong to Him, I want to care for them. I'm willing to sacrifice for them. Maybe it is make that visit that we've been talking a lot about the last 2 weeks. And you know, I need it. The reminder and encouragement to do the same thing. But you know, to do that, we have to give up sometimes what we really wanted to do, or at least I wanted to do for me. But rest assured, when we give that up, we will come away from that visit blessed and encouraged, maybe more than the person we visited. It happens. I belong to Jesus. It's a blessed position to be in, enjoying the benefits and His love and His care, but it also means that we have a responsibility to stand up for Jesus, to say no to sin and to say no to selfishness and sacrifice ourselves for others. And then thirdly, let's consider something else quickly. What are some positive, perhaps we could say day by day, results when I realize and I remind myself that I belong to Jesus? And this is not an exhaustive list, obviously. First of all, I will more likely rejoice in the Lord. I will more likely rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in His goodness. Rejoice in His care. He won't allow more than I am able to handle that day. So no matter how bad it gets, when I realize that I belong to Him and I remind myself of that, He's not going to allow more than I can handle with His help. Rejoice in His forgiveness, His understanding. Psalm 103, verses 12 to 14, it talks about our transgressions are removed from us as far as the east is from the west. It says that He is like a father that pitieth his children. So the Lord pitieth us. He understands, He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Rejoice in that, because I belong to Him. Rejoice in His love for us, even when others are unloving to us, or at least seem to be. Secondly, when I realize or have a better grasp of this, that I belong to Jesus, and I remind myself of it, I will more likely experience true contentment. Because I'll have a better perspective on life when I realize I belong to Jesus. There's no better place. Thirdly, I'll more likely rely on Jesus instead of choosing to worry. I deal with this one, folks. But we need to realize that not only when I realize I belong to Jesus, it means He takes good care of His belongings. He takes good care of His belongings. You know, some of us, we have something that we really treasure. We'll take real good care of it, won't we? We'll put it in a special case. We'll keep it clean. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but can you imagine? That's minor in comparison to the fact that Jesus, the one we belong to, takes care of us. He takes good care of His belongings. So I'll be more likely to rely on Him instead of choosing to worry. Fourthly, I'll be quicker to think good things. Sometimes we can't control what crosses our minds, but we can control what we tell to stay. Reminding myself of whom I belong to will affect the use of my mind. Fifthly, I'll be more pleasant to be around. When I realize and remind myself that I belong to Jesus and what that means, and grasp it, at least get a hold of it somewhat, I'm going to be more pleasant to be around. I'll be more thankful. I'll be more caring of others. Sixthly, I'll be quicker to be looking for Christ's return. When I realize I belong to Him, how blessed that is, I'm going to be quicker to be looking for Him to come back. I belong to Jesus. I've wondered if I'm going to be able to try to express what I wanted to this morning. And try to convey what I was just wanted to come out. Sometimes you look at a sermon and you think, that's no good. Listen, this is what I wanted to try. I can't even express completely what's inside of me, what I'm trying to say. I want you to listen to this yet. If you don't know much about me, I can tell you who I am. I'm a husband and a father, as you could tack on their grandfather. Just an ordinary man. But the picture that I'll paint you, it'll never be complete until you see the most important thing. I belong to Jesus. There's no other name that can claim me. Just Jesus. Now think on that thought. There's no other name that can claim me. It's just Him. Just Jesus. He's in my heart. He saved me. Paid the price. Long ago on Calvary's Hill, he bought my soul. It's freedom. It's freedom that I can say, I belong to Jesus. He's walked me through some valleys, taken me through storms, given me some victories, protected me from harm. When I'm so in need of his mercy, when I failed him the most, there's a still small voice that reminds me, and I know, I belong to Jesus. And there's freedom. There's freedom in belonging to Jesus. May it permeate and rest in our hearts and our minds and make a difference day to day.
Share that wonderful message. God bless you. Do I belong to Jesus? What is your answer this morning? He shed his precious blood. I can't comprehend that love, but it was shown in Calvary. God knows if we belong to him or not. And that's a very important question. As a young boy, one of my mother's favorite hymns was page 151. And as a young person, I didn't appreciate that hymn that much then. But as I grew older, and realizes some of the struggles she had in life, it meant much to me. The words say, a charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, a never-dying soul to save and fit it for the sky. To serve the present age, my calling to fulfill, oh, may in all my powers engage to do my master's will. Arm me with jealous care, and in thy sight to live, and thy poor servant, Lord, prepare a strict account to give. Help me to watch and pray, and on thyself rely, assured if I my trust betray, a second death I'll die. What a challenge in that song. We have a God we need to glorify. Since my wife is going home to be with the Lord, I have learned to praise God from precious members. And when we praise the Lord, the burdens become lighter. God bless you as we do that. Let's stand together as we pray.